Broadcasting from the studios of KCCU on the campus of Cameron University, this is the Texoma Report. I'm Melissa Beck, and now the news. State health officials have chosen the companies that will privatize much of the state's Medicaid program. State Impact's Catherine Sweeney has the story.
Oklahoma is moving much of its Medicaid program to a managed care model, a process that will cost about $2 billion. State officials will announce in a press conference at 2 p.m. today the name of the companies that will help Oklahoma manage SoonerCare. Currently, Oklahoma's Medicaid agency pays hospitals, doctors, and other providers for their services directly. Under the new model, called SoonerCare Select, the state will pay a private health insurer a rate per enrollee, and that insurer will coordinate payment. The plan has proved controversial, drawing harsh criticism from members of the medical community, as well as dozens of Republicans in the legislature. For State Impact, I'm Catherine Sweeney.
The risks from COVID-19 have shut down part of an annual one-day survey to count Oklahoma City's homeless population. Oklahoma Public Media Exchange's Kately Mills reports the count has happened every January since 2003.
The point-in-time survey is required by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for communities to receive homeless assistance grants. The survey helps gather data on people staying in overnight shelters, transitional housing, or are unsheltered. Homeless Alliance Executive Director Dan Strawn says counting of those sheltered will continue, but the unsheltered population will not be counted this year due to COVID-19.
We'd be putting those homeless people at risk, and we'd be putting the volunteers at risk. And so we just did not feel like there was a safe way to do an unsheltered count.
Strawn says not having that detailed data makes requesting aid for groups like homeless families and veterans more difficult. Last year's survey found nearly 1,600 countable people experiencing homelessness in Oklahoma City. Strawn says it's clear to him that the numbers for unsheltered groups will increase. For the Oklahoma Public Media Exchange, I'm Kately Mills.
The practice of four-day school weeks will likely continue widely during the 2021-22 school year in Oklahoma. State Impact's Robbie Korth reports the state's Board of Education approved a waiver to rules that would have limited the number of districts who could cut days from their school calendar.
Oklahoma has about 100 school districts who are in session 4 days a week rather than the typical five. But new rules proposed for the upcoming school year would have limited the practice to districts who perform very well on the annual statewide school report card. A vast majority of districts taking part in four-day calendars are in rural areas and don't meet the requirements typically. And they couldn't have met those requirements, period, because there were no statewide tests last year. That means they would not have permission to go to in-person school for less than 165 days in a year, which allows for four-day school weeks. The pandemic has created extenuating circumstances, though, and those schools should be able to continue the practice in the fall, board member Jennifer Money says.
But 165 is frankly a fairly low standard when you look across the country. Many other states go 180 days as their minimum.
The ultimate fate of the school calendar fight is unclear. The legislature had to table a permanent rule change to the waiver process last year because of the pandemic and could revisit it sometime during the 2021 session. For State Impact, I'm Robbie Korth.
Coming up Monday morning and Tuesday evening on the Texoma Report, an in-depth look at the Biden administration's pro-LGBTQ+ policies and the backlash from conservative states. If you're looking for something to do this weekend and in the coming week, check out medicinepark.com for all the details on Polar Bear Plunge Week. KCCU encourages you to be safe and stay well. That's the news for this edition of the Texoma Report. For KCCU, I'm Melissa Beck. The Texoma Report is a production of KCCU News. For more information about featured stories aired during the program, go online to kccu.org or visit our Facebook page.
Hello, my name is Sue Hokinson, and I'm the recreation coordinator at Quartz Mountain State Park in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. Over the last several weeks, I've been chatting about winter wildlife watching in western Oklahoma. The topic cannot be considered complete until the northern harrier is mentioned. At 16 to 24 inches, the northern harrier can be simply described as a large, long-winged hawk with white rump. It is one of the few raptors in which the sexes look quite different. The female is mottled in browns. Upper side of the wings, brown. Lower side, white and brown bars. The tail is brown with dark bars. The back is dark brown. The face is streaked brown and white. And outlined by a white facial disc. chest and belly streaked dirty white and tan, while the male is white below with a light gray back and hood. Wingtips are black with a line of black on the rear of the wings. The underwings are white, and the tail is darkish gray above, whitish below, with some barring. Northern Terriers are often seen gliding low over swamps and brush, though they can be found in open wetlands, meadows, pastures, prairies, grasslands, croplands, and riparian woodlands. They eat small mammals like mice and voles, birds, reptiles, frogs, insects, and carrion. Northern Harriers are much more common in Oklahoma in winter. There have been confirmed nestings in the Panhandle and a few scattered nests in western Oklahoma. Sighting Harriers during spring and fall migration, particularly fall migration, is very possible, and in winter, there are enough visiting Harriers to be considered common. Next week, more on the oh-so-interesting Northern Harrier. For KCCU, I'm Sue Hokanson, Recreation Coordinator at Quartz Mountain State Park in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma.